Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What the heck is the GDPR? Does it affect you? And what do you need to do about it? In this episode, I've invited on my friend Suzanne Dibble, who's a business law expert over in the UK, to break down what you need to know and do about the EU's new General Data Protection Regulation. Hardly anybody is talking about this here in the US. And for those of us with online businesses, this definitely affects us. Let's dive into it.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of pay traffic. Here's Rick.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for coming to hang out with me each and every week. I really appreciate it. And if you're new here, thank you for tuning in. Really appreciate you doing that. I'm Rick Mulready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing strategies so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business. Now, on the show today, we're diving into a topic that no one's really talking about here in the US. It's a big topic over in Europe. And that is the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR. Now, you may be wondering, Rick, why are we covering this kind of thing on a podcast about online marketing? But guys, if you have people on your email list, or if you have customers who are in Europe, this affects you, and you need to be compliant in the not-so-distant future by May 25th, 2018. So joining me to share her expertise on the GDPR is my friend Suzanne Dibble. And Suzanne is a business law expert over in the UK, and she's worked with Richard Branson's Virgin Company in their data privacy and protection efforts. So today you're going to be learning what the GDPR is, how does it affect you, if at all, what do you need to know about it, what do you need to do about it, how the GDPR affects Facebook ads, steps that we need to take to be GDPR compliant, what effect the GDPR has on how we collect opt-ins. So when people are opting in to our email list and so forth, and people who are purchasing from us who are in the EU and the UK, we get into all of that, how this affects your email CRM. So whatever you're using, ConvertKit, Infusionsoft, Drip, ActiveCampaign, whatever it is. So how this affects your email CRM programs and the various software tools that you're using in your business. We talk about whether this affects how the Facebook pixel is used on our websites and a bunch more. I told you guys, this is really serious stuff that if we have people in the EU or the UK who are on our email list, or we are attracting people from those countries onto our email list, or we have customers in those countries, this affects us. And just a heads up, there are parts of my chat here with Suzanne that get a little legalese. And I'm like, wait a minute, back up here, Suzanne. So we're going to dive into all that today. Stick with it, because as you're going to hear, I really think this is going to be the new norm with businesses and data protection going forward. Now, before we dive into it, if you'd like hands-on help with your Facebook ads from me and my team, then I want to invite you to join my team and me for my FBA live event here in San Diego this coming May, May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Now, FBA Live, this is my live implementation workshop that I do twice a year, and we'll be actually working on your Facebook ad campaigns together, in addition to having conversations around Facebook ad strategy, online marketing strategy, and areas for improving your Facebook ad campaigns. I also have some amazing guest speakers come in to speak with you over those couple of days. Facebook ads are always changing, right? And my goal is to have you walking away from that event with things set up the right way and improvements made while you're there at the workshop so that my team and I can have the biggest impact on working with you, okay? What I do with this event is I limit the number of spots to just 50 people so that we can have the biggest impact on you and working on your campaigns and in your campaigns right then and there during the event. These workshops always fill up. So to learn more and reserve your spot, go to rickmulready.com/FBA live. I love doing these workshops. One of my most favorite thing I do in the business, hanging out with you for a few days and really moving your Facebook ads and business forward. Again, that URL to learn more and to reserve one of those spots for May's FBA live event is rickmulready.com/FBA live. I can't wait to see you here in San Diego in May. All right, without further ado, let's go hang out with Suzanne Dibble. Suzanne, welcome to the podcast. It's so good to have you on here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. All the better for being on your podcast, Rick. I have to say, it's been a life's ambition. Ever since I met you at James Wedmore's Mastermind, it has been a life ambition to be on the podcast.
I really appreciate that. And I'm really appreciative that you have come on here. We have a big topic to get into here today. And I know that you've been focusing a lot on it over the past few months. And I'm really excited to get into it because I have been doing research on my end and my team has been doing research. And we still are like, what do we do? Like, what do we do? Like, what is this? What do we have to do for this when it comes to this whole GDPR thing? And I pulled my messenger list and asked them what their questions were. We got a ton of questions for them. So we have a lot to get into today. And we've been chatting here before we hit record. And I know that you've got a lot of answers here for us and also resources to send people to and stuff like that. Before we do that, please share with AOPT Nation here who you are and what your background is.
So I'm Suzanne. I'm a lawyer for my sins. I am a 20-year qualified lawyer. I know I don't look old enough, do I, Rick? You know, I don't look old enough to be 20 years qualified. But
exactly.
So I started out in mergers and acquisitions in the city, doing billion-pound deals, things like that. I worked with Virgin. I'm sure you've all heard of Virgin and Richard Branson. I went and worked with them. And whilst I was there, I led a group-wide data protection project, which was looking at compliance right across their group companies, 25 or so group companies at the time, and looked at what they should have been doing, what they weren't doing, did a gap analysis, put all that in, you know, put what they needed to be doing into practice. And that was my first real sort of touch of experience with data protection. And since there, it's obviously grown. I'm recently consulting with multinationals on how they're going to implement GDPR. And if we think we've got problems, Rick, seriously, you've got nothing. You know, if you look at what the multinationals are having to do to comply with this legislation, it is a huge piece of work.
Yeah. How long have they known this? This person on my team asked me about this yesterday. We're talking about this, is that how long have companies known that they need to be compliant by, I mean, we're recording this at the, in the middle of April right now, May 25th is the deadline to be compliant. How long have companies known about this? Because my understanding is that this has been big talk over in the UK and the EU, but here in the States, not a whole lot of conversation around it.
Well, it was adopted 2 years ago. Well, it was adopted on the 25th of May, 2016, and it takes effect 2 years later on the 25th of May, 2018. So we have known the text of GDPR, and we've known that it was going to take effect on the 25th of May, 2018. We've known that for 2 years. But of course, unless you are close to you know, the legislators, and you know that this is going on, you're relying on what you're reading in, you know, the business magazines that you read, yeah, or whatever else. Yeah. And really, even in the UK, it's only become a hot topic in the last couple of months, and people are still coming into my Facebook group and saying, why haven't I been told about this? Now, our supervisory authority, the Information Commissioner's Office in the UK, has just launched an awareness campaign. Some may say that's a little too late when you've got, you know, effectively just over a month to comply, to get your ducks in a row to comply with GDPR. As with all of these things, when we had a cookie law that came into effect a while ago, we had 2 years to prepare for that. There was great excitement in the couple of months before it came into effect. And interestingly, what actually happened there was it got watered down quite significantly, literally days before it came into effect. The cookie law was watered down significantly. So yeah, it's and so I'm actually pleasantly surprised, Rick, that people in the States are starting to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, certainly not that long ago, I know that the general consensus in the States was, this is, well, if people had heard of it, it was like, well, this, yeah, is an EU regulation, it's got nothing to do with us.
Right.
So I'm glad that the knowledge has at least moved on from that to understand that, yes, it will affect people in the US to the extent that you have EU customers, EU people on your list.
Yeah.
Etc. And even, you know, arguably to the extent that the EU users can access your website. So yes, it's I'm actually pleased at the level of knowledge. It's just with all of these things, often comes a little bit too late.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess better late than never, right? And,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was talking with my team yesterday because we started diving into the resources that you've provided. You have both free and a paid resource. The paid packet that we'll talk about later on is really, it covers, you know, step by step what we need to be doing. And as we were diving into that, we were like, whoa, there's a lot of stuff that we need to be aware of. And we have, you know, to your point, the conversation has not been happening here in the States. So that's why, another reason why I'm really excited to have you on here, to make sure that we are sharing, like, hey guys, you need to be compliant with this. If you are, just to what you just said, Suzanne, if you have customers in the EU, or is it EU and the UK?
It's an interesting point, because as of when we Brexit, yep, we will, yep, no longer be part of the EU.
Right.
So that is actually an interesting question, one that I've not been asked before, Rick. But our legislation, we are passing our own data protection bill in the UK, which will mirror the provisions of GDPR. Now, that's not come into force yet, but I suspect that there will be similar provisions in there, so that if companies outside of the UK, mm-hmm, are using the data of UK data subjects, it will be a similar regime. But I will put that on my list of things to double check, Rick. Thank you for raising that.
I'm glad I could bring that up.
Yeah.
So before we get too much further here, a lot of people are like, what the heck is GDPR? And let's dive into that. So let's start there. What exactly is this whole thing that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, so GDPR, just a backdrop of it, we've not had new data protection legislation in the EU for the last 20 years. And obviously, data, what we do with it, how it's processed, has come on an awfully long way in the last 20 years. So it's only right that our laws catch up with that. Mm-hmm. And the aim of GDPR is not to stop us small online business owners from doing business. Let's get that up, you know, there right up front. You know, I think lots of people have come into my group, they're panicking, they're going to the nth degree of, can I still do this? Can I give someone a business card and follow up on it? You know, it's not designed at that level, mm-hmm, to stop people doing business like that. It is to stop the things like the Facebook and Cambridge Analytica case. You know, that's the kind of thing that it's designed to do. Mm-hmm. And what GDPR is all about is protecting personal data. So what is personal data? Well, it's anything that identifies a living individual. So yes, names and email addresses on your email list are personal data, and that brings it into play. Also, if you're storing personal data on hard copy and it's in a filing system, that's also included in the scope of GDPR. So pretty much everybody is going to be processing personal data. And processing has a really wide definition as well. Even if it's just sitting there and you're doing nothing with it, that's still processing personal data and was within the scope of GDPR. So as you've already mentioned, it does affect people outside of the EU. If you are based in the EU, then obviously it applies. But if you're outside of the EU and you are monitoring the behavior of people in the EU, or you are telling them about your goods and services, then it applies to you. So customers, prospects, employees in the EU, then it applies. Now, what do you actually need to do? You want me to get into a kind of a step-by-step, Rick, or you want to throw some questions at me?
Yeah, let's throw a couple of questions first before we do that. And so I ask people on our messenger list, A, if they've heard of GDPR. If they haven't, I let them know that we're going to be doing this podcast. If they have heard of it, we ask like what kind of questions they had around it. And let me just kind of fire a couple of quick questions here. And you started just to touch on it right there. Carolyn Erlin Carpenter and Brandon Robertson asked very similar questions. Do we need to worry about it if our target is in the U.S.? And Brandon was asking, does this have anything to do with North America at all? So if primarily they're dealing with people in the U.S. here, does it affect those people?
So there's two things. There's what the law says, and then there's the kind of commercial risk analysis of mm-hmm. that. So legally, if you are processing any personal data of people in the EU, then it applies, and it applies whether you're processing one record or you're processing 200,000 records. Now, okay. There are certain provisions of the of GDPR that only apply when you're processing large-scale data, when it's systematic monitoring, things like that, where you have got that kind of level of, if you're below that level, it doesn't apply, but there's only a couple of things like that. The majority of it applies whether you're processing one record or 70,000 or 100,000 records. Now, that's the legal answer.
Okay.
Now, practically, okay, Europe does not have this big police force of data protection officers that are going to go around checking on every business in the world that is processing personal data of people in the EU, okay? So how are you going to come to the attention of the authorities? It's going to be through prospect data subjects complaints, basically people who don't like what you're doing with their data. The other option is it could be a competitor who's noticed that you're doing things not quite right and wants to trip you up. But unless you're doing something pretty bad with the data, then generally you're going to be okay is my view.
What's an example of that? Like, what's an example? You just mentioned if somebody, yes, there's not this police force, that's tracking everybody down. But if somebody's reporting that, quote unquote, they don't like what you're doing with their data, like, what's an example of that?
Yeah. So obviously, if you're spamming people, you don't have consent. People have asked you to delete their name and address, and you repeatedly emailing them, that kind of thing, then, that's enough to annoy people enough to actually complain to a supervisory authority, and, they'll investigate. I don't think you would even get fined for that, to be honest. They'd just give you a warning and say, don't do it again. The types of things really are where people are building big lists. They're not informing people up front about what they're doing with that data. And then they're selling those lists to dodgy sites, who are then going to spam you, who are going to maybe commit identity fraud. It's that kind of thing that is really going to get you in trouble.
Got it. Okay.
That said, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be taking steps to compliance. Okay. Because I think there's the legislation is one thing. And then there is the practical commercial side of it on the other side. And the more savvy that people get, the more questions they're going to ask. And I think that aside from anything else, gives businesses a real competitive advantage if they can say, particularly in this day and age when there is such a focus on personal data and the security of personal data, if businesses can say, look, we really respect your personal data and we're looking after it and here's what we're doing, then that is a competitive advantage over those who just don't care and who have put their head in the sand and don't care about things like GDPR. We've seen it in my group, actually, because one of the elements of GDPR is that if you use a service provider who processes your data, then so you're the data controller. Sorry for this legal jargon, but you've got the data subject who is actually, the person on your list. Mm-hmm. You're the data controller who says what you're going to do with that list. And then maybe you use a virtual assistant to actually, upload that data to Infusionsoft or whatever it is and send that out. Okay. So that virtual assistant is a processor in that example.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now something like Zippy Courses, I think it's Derek Halpin's Zippy Courses.
Yep.
People from my group were emailing him to say, what are you doing about GDPR? And the initial reaction was nothing to do with us. you know, et cetera. Right. Now, within the space of a couple of weeks, because I think, you know, a lot of my group had emailed them, they'd literally changed their tune on that. And they were like, no, we're looking into this. Your data is important to us, et cetera. Because there is an obligation on the data controller, i.e., you know, me in the UK, who's using people in the States for the service, there's an obligation on me to only use processors who are GDPR compliant. Okay.
Okay. So go ahead, keep going. And I'm going to come back to that question.
Yeah. So just in terms of what I was talking about, in terms of that competitive advantage,
yep.
One side of it, which is, do I have to be compliant? Is there this vast police force? What's my potential fines, et cetera? Yeah. To me, the more important side of it is the commercial side, which is the, do I want to keep my customers in the EU? You know, because the more savvy we become, the more your prospects are going to be asking questions. If you're opting them into things incorrectly, you know, they're going to be more aware to that. There's going to be reputational damage. There's going to be, you know, et cetera. So with the processes, what I'm saying there is that, so say, Rick, you're doing my Facebook ads for me in the States. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Now your processor, if I'm giving you, if I'm say sending you a list of my contacts for you to upload as a custom audience, and you're processing my data.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a processor. And you have your own separate obligations as a processor under GDPR. Okay. And there's it's quite an in-depth subject. So I don't really want to go too much into it on this interview. There's a lot more about this in my free Facebook group. I just want to make the point.
Yeah.
And that a lot of people in the States, I'm sure, who are listening to this will be processors of people in the EU. Okay. And you have to be compliant. And it's not really the law that, in my view, has the teeth in this instance. It's the consumers, okay? It's your customers who are going to be saying, I only want to work with processors, i.e., you know, software providers, service providers, whoever it is, who are GDPR compliant, because there's an obligation on us to do that, okay?
Sure.
We can get fined for not working with compliant processes. Because if you think about the logic of it, you know, I've got a duty to protect the data of the individuals who are on my list.
Sure.
I'm then passing you that data.
Yep.
I have to make sure that you are protecting that data to the same standards as I am.
That I would be, right. So I would be the controller. It's like in my own business, I would be the controller. And if I'm passing somebody's information. So as a processor, is the processor like Infusionsoft, for example? Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Exactly. And so when you say they have to be GDPR compliant, so I'm just thinking about like the tools in our business. So we use, say, for example, Infusionsoft, we use Kajabi for our course platform. We use, you know, Stripe, for example, to process payments and stuff like that. What I'm hearing is all of these different tools need to be GDPR compliant. What does it mean? And what's coming to my mind is like, if you're labeled organic, you know, are you certified organic, right? So how do we know that somebody like an Infusionsoft or ConvertKit or something like that is GDPR compliant?
Yes, it's not an easy answer for people at the moment. It's unfortunately, there isn't a kind of certificate that people can have to have on their website to say, we've been, you know, authorized, we've been certified as being GDPR
certified compliant. Organic, you're right.
So it's really a case, I mean, certainly people like MailChimp and AWeber have put statements out saying we are GDPR compliant. And what that will mean is that they have taken legal advice, they have gone through their checklist, and they think that they've done everything that they need to do to comply with GDPR.
Got it.
Now, we really have no option other than to take them on that.
Oh, that was my next question. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
With organizations of that size, we have to take it on trust.
Got it.
Now, there is something in the US called if data is being transferred from the EU to the US. So in the case of MailChimp, for example, all of the people has a really big EU customer base who are transferring data to MailChimp. MailChimp is, let me take a step back. Europe thinks that its data protection is the best in the world, okay? And unfortunately, the States isn't so hot on it, okay? So there's certain countries that have an adequacy finding from Europe, which says that you can transfer data between those countries freely because they have a good enough standard of data protection. Okay. Yep. US isn't one of them, but what the US has done, people might have heard of the Safe Harbor scheme. Unfortunately, that collapsed a couple of years ago. And we now have what's called the EU-US Privacy Shield, which is a kind of self-certifying code, I suppose, that US companies adhere to that says that they have a sufficient standard of data protection. Mm-hmm. So that the data can be transferred freely. So, for example, so MailChimp, AWeber, they are all part of the EU-US Privacy Shield, and I think Infusionsoft is too. So if you're a US company, US processor, and you start getting questions from EU customers or prospects or whoever saying, are you part of the EU-US Privacy Shield? That's what that is all about, okay? Now, if you're not, it's fine. You just have to take some extra steps, okay? You have to put in place what's called standard contractual clauses, and they are a document that the EU has approved that you enter into between the processor and the controller.
Got it. Okay. So I do want to get into like what people need to do, but I want to kind of back up really quick before we do that, because I know that I'm still a little bit confused, and I know that people are going to be confused as far as this whole controller versus in the processor thing. So I'm a controller. As the business owner, I have people. So I have people coming onto my list. For example, I have customers certainly in Europe and in the UK or EU and UK. So when you said we're processing their information, what can you define what processing means? Like, could that mean as something as simple as we're just adding them to our email list and now we're emailing them?
Yeah. So a controller is someone who controls the data, who literally says, this is what I'm going to do with that data. So the business owner. Okay. So the processor is the person that you are typically paying to process that information for you. Okay. And they can only process it under the data controller's instruction. Okay. So that could be people like your bookkeeper, your accountant, your payroll provider, an email service provider, you know, whoever is processing on your behalf. Okay. Yeah. Now it is possible, just to confuse matters even more, it's possible to be a controller and a processor in relation to different functions. Okay. So you, Rick, for example, you will be a controller in relation to data on your EU customers, for example.
Yeah.
But you will be a processor for their information that they are passing you about their data subjects.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And in a Facebook context, this is really interesting, actually, when you look at Facebook as an example, and this is where there's a lot of confusion around how Facebook ads will all work post-GDPR. But Facebook is both a data controller and a data processor. Okay, now when the data is in Facebook's system, so for things like when they're doing lookalike audiences and things like that, and when they're deciding who to show the ads to, that's their data, okay? And they're the data controller for that. So it's up to them to get the necessary consents or whatever else for that information.
It's up to Facebook.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
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 Now, if, however, on the other hand, you are uploading a list of your contacts to create a custom audience, then you're the data controller, okay, and you have to get the necessary consents, and Facebook is the processor.
Okay, that makes sense. So, and so this is adding an additional step to, because when we're using Facebook's custom audiences and we're uploading an email list, for example, the first time we do it, we have to, check the box that we're abiding by Facebook's custom audience policy. So and I'm sure that they're updating that to reflect GDPR. But in addition to that, what I'm hearing is we now have to get people on our list, or we have to ensure that we're adding this extra step that we are getting their permission to do this. People who are on our email list, who are in the EU or in the UK. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, wow. Okay, cool. not cool, but it makes sense. And I want to get into, sort of the steps here, but you did mention Facebook right there. And Christoph, who asked the question from our messenger list, is his question is, and I don't know if we can answer this. We might have to look into this further. Is it GDPR compliant to use the Facebook pixel, say like on our website?
Yeah. Yeah. It's essentially we're going to be able to continue to use Facebook in the same way that we are doing at the moment. Like you say, there's just a couple of things that we need to do to make sure that we can continue to do that. Okay. But as far as the Facebook pixel on our websites is concerned, that's an example where Facebook is the data controller.
Okay.
We don't actually get to see any personal data through that pixel. Okay. So we're never the data controller because we can't see that information. It's directly put into Facebook's system. So what we need to do with that is to make sure that we have the right cookie policy that advises people that we're using those cookies and there's that pixel on the site.
Yep.
And also in our privacy policy as well, we'd need to say what our lawful ground of processing is for doing that.
Okay.
And they're two documents that you can get hold of in my pack.
Okay. So, all right. So let's start to dive into that. Cause I know that people are going to be listening. Like, Rick, just tell us what to do. So what are those steps? And then I want to get into all the resources that you have available for people to really dive into like step-by-step what they need to do. But let's kind of talk about these types of things because I know people have questions around, opting in. You know, I noticed that when I opted in for your freebie within your Facebook group, you've got two check boxes now underneath that, name and email address. Where
I don't know what my team do from day to day. Well, to be honest,
it was good. It was good. And I actually took a screenshot of it. But like everything from opt-ins to privacy policy to what are these things that we need to be aware of that we need to be doing here.
Okay, well let's take that as an example then, where you've got say my free checklist. Which talks you through all the steps that you need to take to comply with GDPR. Mm-hmm. So you might see that on a Facebook ad. It's not a lead ad, so you're clicking onto a link, going to my opt-in page, and what's different? What have I got to do? Okay, so the first thing then is if you've worked out that you're processing personal data, which we've talked about, then you need to work out your lawful ground of processing. And the first thing to note is that consent is not the only ground, okay? People get obsessed about consent and it's not the only ground, okay? For that example I've just given, it probably is the right ground, okay? But we'll talk about some other grounds in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But what you need to be thinking about is that there is a higher standard of consent under GDPR, okay? And so there's a number of rules, I suppose, about how we go about getting consent. Okay. And what there has to be is an affirmative action. So that means that pre-tick boxes are out, opt-outs are out. There has to be a positive affirmative action on behalf of the person who's given us the details. We have to be really transparent and upfront about what we're doing with that data. And what you do there is you have your privacy policy or privacy notice. I use those words interchangeably.
Okay.
And this is the document that advises people about what you're going to do with their data. Okay.
Okay.
And you should have a link to that at that point of sign up. Okay. So a phrase like, we will protect your data in accordance with our privacy policy, link to the privacy policy.
If we have a lead box, for example, if we're using lead pages or whatever, and so we have the name and give me your name and email address and we'll send you blah, 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 whatever. And so what you're saying is below that, we need to have a link to our privacy policy, which reflects this language that you're talking about.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, exactly. Cool. Yeah. Now, if it's on our website and we just have an opt-in, on our website, is it sufficient to simply, because we're linking to a privacy policy on our website, is it sufficient that it's on the website and it might not be right next to the opt-in or something like that?
I think that's the change. It used to be fine. So if you look at my website now, I've just got it on the footer of every page.
Yeah.
And in some opt-in boxes, I've been good and put the link, but some I haven't, that would probably be okay under, current legislation. But going forwards, you need to have it right because you've got to give them this information at the point of collection of the information. Okay. And arguably you're not being transparent enough if it's hidden away in a footer. So yeah, but I would have the link, exactly there with that statement saying we will protect your data in accordance with our privacy policy.
Now, before you go on, because I took two notes there. I was like, holy cow, wait a minute. You said tick boxes are out. And
No, I didn't.
Pre-ticked
boxes are out.
Okay, cool. Okay, gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. But we can have, for example, I have on our order forms, when somebody, enrolls in a course or whatever, we have a a checkbox that, you know, that links to the terms and conditions. It's not pre-checked, but people have to check it in order to, that's okay.
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
Got it.
Kind of not part of GDPR. Yeah.
That's okay, cool. Okay. And then you said, did I hear you correctly when you said opt-outs are out?
Yeah. So, you know, you have an opt-out being a please click here if you don't want to receive our marketing. That's an opt-out. Okay. That's you can't do that anymore. Well, it's really about giving users genuine choice and control about what you do with their data, and being as upfront and transparent about it as possible. So arguably, if you've got an opt-out, they haven't read it, they haven't understood it properly, you know, it's not sufficient anymore. There's got to be this affirmative act that's signifying their consent.
Aren't we, if I have an unsubscribe link, for example, in my email, that's right in the email there, aren't I giving them the, aren't I giving them control to do that?
Not enough control. No, Rick. Sorry.
That's crazy. Okay. What do we do instead? What does the affirmative action mean?
Yeah. So now let me give you an example here. So if you are just, now we haven't got guidance on this. Okay. Because the ICO really weren't envisaging people with their freebies and tick boxes when they were writing, well, not the ICO, the European Commission were not anticipating people like us when they were writing this legislation. Okay. So we have to work with, you know, what they've written and try and translate that into practical examples. Okay. So now what the consent also says is to give, wherever possible, give separate options for consent. So you can't bundle it together. Okay. So what we normally want to do with our free checklist is, of course, we're going to send them the free checklist, but we also want them on our email list so we can tell them about some really cool stuff so that they can become paying customers. Okay.
Sure.
Which is after all why we created this amazing free checklist in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. So now to best practice is absolutely to have a tick box that says, I consent to you sending me further information about goods and services that you feel may interest me. Okay. That's absolutely best practice to have that. Okay. Puts it beyond doubt. Okay.
Yeah.
However, if you don't have it, well, I can't imagine any instance where you wouldn't want to send people a follow-up sequence, but if you didn't, for example, you don't need a tick box because purely putting the email address in is that affirmative action. So if you're saying, do you want my checklist, pop your email address in, and they put their email address in there.
Right.
That's the affirmative action. Okay.
But that's, now, but what I'm hearing.
Arguably.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, let me finish. Arguably, if you are upfront and say, do you want my free checklist and go on my marketing list, pop your email address in if you do. Okay. Now, arguably, that's an affirmative action to both of those things, but that's where the granularity of consent comes in and the separate consents and not being able to bundle consents. Okay.
Now, jeez, okay.
This is low risk, okay, Rick? So if you don't want to do this, you're not going to get fined 20 million euros, okay, which is the maximum fine, okay? But there is certainly, I mean, this has like been the hottest debated topic over Facebook, I can tell you. I mean, it's just crazy the amount of brain cells that have gone into even thinking about this, okay? But, you know, would you get fined? If you put a little statement under your opt-in box saying, I consent to you sending me the checklist and sending me, you know, further details of goods and services, blah, 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 enter your email here and we'll protect your data in accordance with our privacy policy. Is anything bad going to happen to you? 99% not, okay?
Yeah.
If you want to be belt and braces about it and put it beyond absolute doubt, you have your tick box, okay, that lets people opt in to further marketing, okay?
Yep. Gotcha. So you did that, by the way. Your team did that on your opt-in box. So well done for your team.
We're getting like 99% opt-in, so that's absolutely fine. Now, just I'm not sure whether I should even go down this route of throwing this into the hat, but interestingly, so we read Pinterest's put out their revised privacy policy fairly recently, and there was discussion about it in my group, and people were kind of outraged that they weren't asking for consent for advertising on Pinterest. But as I say, there are other grounds of lawful processing than consent. And one of them is legitimate interests. Okay. And what that says is that if something's within your legitimate interests as a business owner, and we know from the recitals that direct marketing is a legitimate interest of a business. Okay. So if you have that legitimate interest and the what you're going to be doing with that data is not impacting the rights and freedoms of the data subjects, then you can rely on that legitimate interest as a ground for data processing. Okay. Now, where this is The problem with legitimate interest is that it's a gray area. Okay.
Yeah,
there's no black and white, and you're taking the risk of the decision, I suppose. So it's open to challenge. Okay. But if there is a relevant and appropriate relationship, if the individual would reasonably expect their data to be processed at the time and context in which the data is collected, where there'd be a minimal privacy impact, then you can rely on legitimate interests, okay? So in my view, I would argue that there is legitimate interest in adding people to a follow-up campaign after they've, if that follow-up campaign is specifically related to the topic that they've just signed up for.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So say you're doing a checklist on, you know, how to be amazing at doing Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And your follow-up campaign was specifically about that. Then in my view, if you explain that in your privacy policy, you would be okay without the consent and without the tick box. But for wider marketing about other stuff, then, you know, then that would be a lot harder to argue and you'd probably need consent for doing that.
Okay. Make so sense? Yeah, that, well, yeah, it, how you just wrap that up, it does. And I'm just thinking we're sending an, let's, okay. So as an example, we're sending an email out today to my list about, today's podcast episode that, you know, we're recording this on a Wednesday, but I have an episode coming out today and it's all about this guy from a platform called Urbanist, where he does live stream video and he's built this amazing platform and how he uses Facebook Live to sell more products, showcase products, build a community, et cetera. So one could probably, and I'm emailing my list about that to let people know about that, where I also have a tip, a Facebook ads tip in the email as well. But I'm guessing that people could probably argue that, let's just say that somebody went through my new Facebook ads superhero quiz on my new site. They get through, you know, I have some follow-up emails that are adding value. And then after that, let's just say they get put on my overall email list where they're getting my weekly emails. Could somebody argue that, hey, this is not completely relevant to what, you know, for the quiz, or maybe when they registered for a webinar or something like that, could they argue that there's that irrelevance there?
It's arguable. That's the point. You know, there's no solid guidance on this. Everything's arguable. It's how comfortable you feel, you know, with an element of risk. And in my view, Rick, that's low risk. You know, one thing to point out with legitimate interest is that you have to tell them about their right to object to the processing. And with direct marketing, that is an absolute. So if they object, you have to stop marketing to them. So that's where, even if you were relying on legitimate interests and not having your little tick box at the point of entry of their email address, you would say you have the right to opt out of any future communications at any time. And then you have to remind them of that on every email. And of course, if people are using things like Infusionsoft, MailChimp, AWeber, you have that unsubscribe button at the bottom of every email in any event.
So that's okay to do. Like, so going back to what we were talking about before, the unsubscribe link is okay to include in the email.
Yes. I think you asked about it in a slightly different context before.
Okay.
So you can't just have an opt-out. If you've decided that your legitimate ground for processing is consent, you can't not get consent and just have people opt out. Okay. There's got to be an affirmative action.
Okay.
We're talking about legitimate interest here, which is a different ground.
Yep.
You can, because you're not getting consent, you can rely on legitimate interest, but they have to be able to object. And that's where that opt-out comes in. Now, obviously, if they've consented, you still need to give them the right to opt out at every email as well. Okay.
Sure. Okay. Yeah? So is there anything that we need to do now? So, you know, we have people on our email list and, you know, if we're identifying those people who are in, I don't think we would be able to identify those people who are just on the email list who are not customers. So if we don't have any of their customer information, we don't necessarily know. Is there anything that we as business owners need to do to be compliant to, are we supposed to send out an email to them to, you know, something, get them to reaffirm or whatever?
Yeah. So I'm glad you mentioned customers there because you can continue to market to existing customers on the basis of legitimate interest because you've got that relevant and appropriate relationship there. You know, particularly if it's something that's very relevant to what they've already bought, they would expect to receive that marketing communication. And as long as you give them that right to opt out, that's fine. Now, just because I know you have got some people in the EU listening to this, it's not relevant at the moment to outside of the EU, but it probably is going to be extended in 2019. There is another regulation called the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulations, and they require consent for unsolicited direct marketing emails to individuals, which includes sole traders and partnerships. Okay. But there is a soft opt-in, which means effectively, I'm not going to go into it in detail, but effectively, if you are a customer, an existing customer, then you don't need to get that consent under PECR. Okay. Now, I probably lost you there because that's a bit, but I just want to highlight that for the people in the EU.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it does make a little bit, it makes a little bit of sense where my thing is like, okay, we can obviously identify our customers who, and I'm just speaking for my business, I can identify customers who are in the EU and UK. For everybody else on my email list who are not customers, where I don't have that information, I guess I'm still a little bit confused. Do I need to email the entire?
No. If you can, this is about protecting the data of people in the EU.
Right. Yep.
So if you can segment your list to just the people in the EU, that's who you need to be thinking about.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to get to is you might not need to, go out to the whole list to get fresh consent. So the first, let's take it through the steps here in terms of thinking about, do I need to go and get fresh consent?
Yep.
So the first thing to do is to sit down and do an inventory of the data that you're processing relating to people in the EU. Okay. Then what you do alongside that, and there's a data inventory in my pack, you go alongside that, you think, okay, well, what is my legitimate ground of processing for that? Is it consent? Is it legitimate interest? Is it contractual? Is it something else? Okay, and you go through that. And obviously, we're only talking about the ones where you've identified it as consent that you might need to go back out and get people to re-opt into your list. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have managed somehow to get pre-existing consent that is of a GDPR compliant standard, you don't have to go out to your list at all, okay? But if you haven't kept records of where you got the consent from, if you didn't have that link to your privacy policy when they signed up, if you haven't given the opt-out at every email, etc., then it's not GDPR compliant consent and you do need to go back out to your list and say, hey, there's this new law coming in. Well, I wouldn't suggest doing this, actually. I'd suggest doing it as part of a re-engagement campaign generally. But we're getting in the UK anyway at the moment, lots of just emails from people saying there's this new law coming in, GDPR coming in May. We need to ask you to essentially tell us what you want us to send you in future, and that's either, and that's where you'd have your granularity of, do you want us to send you marketing by post, by email, by, whatever? And in my view, I do a fair bit of email marketing, GDPR is actually a really good, aside from what the legislation says, it's actually just a really good opportunity to carry out good list hygiene, get rid of the people that haven't answered you, haven't clicked on anything for 5 years. Because we all know that you've got a list of 10,000, 7,000 aren't engaging, it's impacting on the deliverability to the 3,000 that actually are interested in reading your stuff. So for me, that's what I'm taking it as just a really good opportunity to clean up my list, to segment even further. I think, segmenting is just good business sense, but for GDPR, there is a good reason for doing that as well under GDPR.
So
in terms of if you do work out that you need to go and get that GDPR compliant consent, and remember, we're just talking about people in the EU here, then you need to do it. The law says you need to do that before the 25th of May. Now, take all that with the backdrop of there is not this vast data protection police force that is going to go around checking every single company in the world that is, marketing to EU people in the EU that is going to fine you 20 million euros on the 26th of May because you haven't gone out and got that consent. Okay. But, if you know about it, it's easy to do it, just crack on with it because like I say, the risk is, you get customers from the EU that will complain. You get customers, that there'll be reputational damage if you're doing things that you shouldn't potentially. Just best practice, isn't it, really? Easy life, best practice.
I have a couple of just sort of rapid fire questions that have kind of come up that, because I'm still, I'll be honest, I'm still a little bit like, holy cow, what do we need to do as far as like the specific, I have a much better understanding of this. And I, for me personally, I know for everybody listening too, this has been very eye-opening. Like, this is serious. Like, we need to be, you know, like the likelihood of being, you know, being fined, and the fines are massive. What is it, like 20 million euros or something like that?
Well, I mean, it is, but it's also, it's either 20 million or 4% of global worldwide turnover, whichever is the higher. So if you think of someone like Facebook, if they were to get fined the maximum amount, I think they were looking at a fine of 109 billion, you know, so it demonstrates the seriousness with which the European regulators are taking this issue.
Yeah, they're definitely not messing around with this. So with the, I could sort of, I got to be thinking here, like some people listening, like, well, I'm just not going to target. I mean, and a podcast here, obviously it's very hard. You can't control who's listening to it, but you know, I would imagine that some people are thinking like, well, I'm not even going to just go down this route. Yeah. I'm not going to market at all to people in the EU or in the UK.
Yeah, I've seen that on forums a lot. They're talking about geo-blocking and things like that. And yeah, it's a commercial decision. You know, if you think that you're not going to get any value out of your EU customer list, then that's a commercial decision for you.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what GDPR has been designed to do. Right. But those companies that value their EU customer base are obviously going to take the steps that they need to comply. And actually, when you boil it down to it, it's not actually that. I know it sounds complicated. If you're new to it, it sounds complicated.
Yeah.
You come in my Facebook group within a week, you've got your checklist, you've worked through that, you've watched the relevant videos, you're kind of on top of it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got your, you know, I don't know how much money you're going to make, but you've got the potentiality of what you can make through, you know, even if you've not got a big EU customer base at the moment, who's to say what that could be, you know, in 2 years' time, 5 years' time, whatever. You've got that on the one side, and you've got some simple steps you can take over here. You know, what are you going to do? I know what I'd do.
Yeah. And two other things, and then we'll talk about your Facebook group and the packet and stuff like that, and all the videos and resources that you've got available for everybody, because I know that people are like, all right, cool, I get it. This is something I need to address. Let's go address it. You mentioned two things that I still have, I took notes on. Number one, you were talking about Pinterest. And talking about the Pinterest ads and so forth, that seems a little bit like, I don't know, that just seems over the top to me, where people are like, well, why am I getting this Pinterest ad, for example? I could see the same thing with people seeing a Facebook ad. You know, if I'm serving an ad over in the UK, for example, you know, is that falling under this whole thing where people are going to have a problem with that? And do we need to do anything differently as far as, you know, we're showing our ad, but then are we cool with just putting that consent, like you just mentioned, like the tick box or whatever, the privacy policy, into that, you know, whether it's a webinar registration or a download or whatever, are we good with that?
Yeah. So two things there. So what you were saying about, I think there has been a bit of a concern about, you know, is this the end of Facebook advertising, etc. Now, they've got a really good page on GDPR. Actually, if you want to Google Facebook and GDPR, it'll bring up what they are doing on it. And it also breaks down the different services and whether they are a controller or a processor for each of those different services. And what you need to look at is their privacy policy. Okay, if you click through to that, I don't think it calls it a data policy. So, you know, click on that. And what you'll see is that they're very clever in getting their consent. Okay, because I was going to go in and turn off ads. Oh, no, that doesn't do that. I don't know if you've been in Look, Rick. But what it does is it says you can turn it off. Yeah. However, you're still going to see as many ads. Okay, they're just not going to be targeted to you, because that's what they're using the personal data for, is to target the ads.
Sure, okay? Sure. Yep. Yep.
So I'm using their free platform. They can put up whatever they want on their free platform. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's whether they can use my personal data to target the ads at me. Okay. So I went along to their privacy control center thinking, merrily, oh, great, I can turn my ads off. No. The way that it's phrased is very clever, because it immediately made me turn it back on. So I was like, oh my goodness, I'd rather have targeted ads than all these random ads.
Suzanne, don't even get me started on this whole topic. Don't even, because I am very passionate about this whole thing. But it's interesting. Okay, I didn't know that. So I'll make sure I'll link it up in the show notes for the episode here today.
Yeah. And what Pinterest did was that they haven't given that element of control. But what they do is they rely on legitimate interests, and they explain it. And they say, look, this is a free site. It's a free service. Yep. It costs a fortune for us to run it for you. Yeah. Ads is how we, is how we fund that for you. So we're going to send you some ads. Okay. And it's they've gone down the legitimate interest route, which is interesting.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Last question here before you, and I want, because I know we're just about out of time. before we talk about the Facebook group and the resources is you mentioned before, as far as working with processes, you mentioned bookkeeper. So my bookkeeper is in New York. Now they're just sort of classifying all of my transactions, right, in the business and giving me a P&L at the end of the, for the month. Did they have to be GDPR compliant as well?
If they're processing personal data of people in the EU, then yes. So if you've got customers in the EU, and you know there's personal data in the records that they are processing, then yes.
Okay, but they're not seeing like, oh, it's Joe Smith. Oh, they're just seeing a transaction. They're just seeing a number. Okay,
if they're not seeing the personal data, that's fine.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this Facebook group, this packet that you have. I was alerted to the Facebook group about 2 weeks ago. You have what, like 14,000 people in the Facebook group in a matter of a very short amount of time. You've got webinars in there. You've got free resources, videos. You've got a free checklist that people can download with the tick boxes in there. And you've also got a packet that people can purchase. I think it's like 147 pounds. I think something like that. You know, what is it? Yeah. I don't know what the... $175, let's just say, somewhere around there. So very inexpensive. Where can people go to, what's the Facebook group link, first of all?
Okay, well, if you search for it, because I don't know the exact link, but it's GDPR for online entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And then I've got the, I've got in brackets, EU, US, CA, AU.
Okay.
Just clarify that it's not just something of interest to people in the EU. You know, it's right. It's kind of a wider context. But yeah, we've got a bit of a backlog at the moment of people applying to join the group. So bear with us if people hear this and apply and you're not accepted immediately. We've got literally thousands still waiting. So we do check. You know, we ask the Facebook's got that really great facility now where you can ask questions.
Yeah, about
people. So we're we do check people to make sure we just don't want a group of spammers and things like that. So
yeah. Okay,
so a team who are working through those requests.
GDPR for online entrepreneurs. I'll link that in the show notes for that'll kick you over to it's a free Facebook group. Guys, go to the Facebook group. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of amazing information in there. Suzanne just got a free, like you opt in for this a checklist here. You got videos in there. People are asking questions and stuff. I love how you set it up and said, hey, don't ask questions until you've gone through this stuff I've already created for
people
you.
People still ignore it, but we try.
Of course.
And yeah, I've put a note in saying, please don't ask me again for the 50th time. Do I need to get my list to opt in? Because I must have covered this several times in the group. But I'm doing a really comprehensive webinar tomorrow, actually, on marketing and GDPR. So that will be in there as a saved video for people who aren't in the group, because I think this will go out at a later date.
Yeah.
But it's all recorded in there. So go check that out at the very least. There's an overview video, which I'd really recommend people watch, but then the marketing training as well.
Awesome.
Go and check that out.
So you got all this information, you have a free checklist that people can download, and you have the packet. Now, guys, I'm going to give you a link. I am an affiliate for this link, so I get a small commission if you purchase it. It's rickmulready.com/GDPR. What exactly is in this packet here, Suzanne? And we just got it ourselves last week.
Yeah, so everything that I've mentioned, pretty much everything that I can think of that will help you be compliant, and I'm adding things in there on a regular basis. When I identify a need that is something that's going to make life easier for people, I'm adding it in. But the things I mentioned, like your privacy policy, your cookie policy, your tick box wording, your processor agreement, if you need to put a processor agreement in place, which is a really key document actually, marketing checklist, if you've got employees in the EU, then there's a whole raft of documents that you need for that. And the subject access request records, there's data retention policy, basically everything I can think of. Now, don't be panicking at this stage and think, oh my God, I've got to put 20 documents in place about this. You probably haven't, okay? But if you need the privacy policy and the cookie policy, it's worth that in itself.
I was just going to say, that's a lot of the questions that I got is like, hey, just, okay, got it. I know I need to be compliant. Tell me what I need to put, in my privacy policy or, tick boxes or whatever. So that's all included in your packet here. Again, guys, it's rickmulready.com/GDPR. And definitely go get that. It's going to have all this information. It's going to answer all of your questions as far as, okay, language, exactly what you need to be taking care of here. And as Suzanne said, it sounds overwhelming. It's, Suzanne makes it easy for you. Just follow the steps and you'll be good And I really do think, Suzanne, I agree with you, is that this is the future of where things are heading, whether we like it or not. And
I think, you know, I don't see it too far behind that the States will be passing its own. You know, there's already pushes for that with the Facebook scandal.
Yeah.
You will be tightening up your own data protection law in the not too distant future. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't thank you enough for coming on here and sharing all this knowledge with us. I've learned a ton. I took a bunch of notes. And again, guys, we're going to have all these resources and links over on the show notes page for today's episode. I forget what episode number. I think it's 187. I'll make sure I share this with you in the intro and outro of the episode here today. But Suzanne, thank you so much again for taking the time to come on. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure.
All right. Hope you got a ton out of today's episode here with Suzanne. Over on the show notes page, which is at rickmulready.com/188, I've linked up all the links that we talked about here today, including Suzanne's free Facebook group, which I just checked and has almost 16,000 people in the group. Also, the link for the packet that Suzanne kept mentioning throughout the conversation here today is rickmulready.com/GDPR. It contains over 20 legal documents and checklists, including language that you can use right on your privacy policy and terms and conditions, and also the necessary language that you should be using on your opt-in boxes and opt-in pages. That's all going to be in her packet. We bought it ourselves for our own business last week or so, and it's really, really good. Again, it's rickmulready.com/GDPR. I think it's like $175 or something like that, US. And that is an affiliate link. So if you decide to purchase that through that link, I do get a small commission. I appreciate very much in advance if you decide to do that. Zero pressure, of course. But if you do, thank you so much for doing that. Also, so I've been getting a ton of great questions about my Accelerator 12-month group coaching program. The people in the group are having a blast. They're getting some amazing results. And my team and I are having so much fun working with everybody. If you'd like to learn more and talk to me about my Accelerator group coaching program, DM me over on Instagram. I'm at Rick Mulready there on Instagram. So shoot me a message there and let's chat. Thank you again so much for listening to the show today, everybody. Really appreciate it. I've got another awesome episode coming your way in episode number 189. So until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.